Good evening. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and you are listening to Let's Talk. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Hassan Batts. I am a survivor, a healer, son, father, grandfather, brother, husband, Lehigh Valley neighbor, and like to think of myself as a global citizen because I believe in building community wherever I am. Some of my responsibilities are Commissioner on the Governor's Commission on African American Affairs, Chair of the Gun Safety Task Force, and member of the Governor's Public Health Task Force. My passions lead me to become the president and founder of the Prison Survivor Network, a national network of prison survivors, family members, allies, and those most impacted by the trauma and damage of mass incarceration. Our charge is to end recidivism through inspiration, community building, and economic opportunity. I'm also the executive director of the Promised Neighborhoods of the Lehigh Valley, a Black-led, anti-racist, liberation-based grassroots organization that is focused on healing and wellness through leadership development, violence prevention and reentry, racial justice and health equity, and community capacity building. Let's Talk is an exciting collaboration with WDIY because we are living in a moment where we are witnessing fraying of our fabric of our community, society, and even our humanity. I believe healing occurs by creating authentic relationships that last within our communities. And by listening to one another, we develop a deeper understanding of ourselves, our experiences, and our world. Let's Talk explores hard-hitting but necessary conversations for listeners' ears. Let's talk about the tough topics that others shy away from. Let's talk about what's standing in our way of community progress. Let's talk about how we can be better Lehigh Valley neighbors and residents. We want to welcome our guests. We have Julie, we have Mike, and we have Marcus. Welcome. It is a pleasure to have you guys here on the show. And we're going to dig right into the talk, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your family. Julie, Mom, we're going to start with you. Let's talk about the family. Tell us a little bit.
Well, I'm here today with my husband, Mike, and my son, Marcus. Mike is Marcus's stepdad, has been in Marcus's life for now half of his life. Good, about 8 years?
Yeah.
About 8 years now?
Yep, about 8 years.
We also have a little one at home, 3 years old, Emmy. We live here in the Lehigh Valley. We've lived here. I've lived here almost, how many years now? Since 98. I was raised in the military. Okay. Lived here since 98. Mike's born and raised in this area, raised in Easton.
Yep.
Mike?
Yeah. Julie and I, we've known each other since high school. We kind of, reconnected years after. Started dating, got married, 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're raising a beautiful family, a beautiful blended family.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, Marcus and I have a lot in common. I think, we both like basketball. We're competitive.
You're competitive. Sure. Who's better?
Yeah, at basketball, he is.
Okay. the reason I'm asking you to tell us a little about, because I want people to know that you're human beings, right? You're folks in the Lehigh Valley. You love your community. You love your family. Right.
And when we're a little closer in age, right? We're not too far apart in age, and I think we still kind of we enjoy the same things. We have a friendship, right? We have a relationship, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. He's my stepson, I'm his stepdad, right? There's that relationship, but we're also friends. And
beautiful.
I don't want to speak for you, Marcus, but I enjoy just being around him and hanging out, and whether it's watching a movie or playing around golf.
He seems like a great guy.
Yeah,
he really does.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, what high school did you go to, Mike?
Easton High School.
Easton High. Marcus, where are you at?
Freedom High School.
Freedom, okay. So welcome to the show. Today we're talking about the talk. What were your first thoughts, Marcus, when your mom told you you were going to be on the show, you're going to talk about the talk?
I think we all know what I was thinking when that happened. And I was a little nervous, but then I was told what it actually was about. And I was like, okay, I can't wait to talk about this.
So your first thought was sex. You thought that's what we're here to talk about, sex.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. But when we say the other talk, do you know what that means? Were you familiar automatically?
Yeah, kind of. I'm basically familiar with that, what that means.
Okay. So we're going to jump into the conversation, right? We think about a driver's license as a milestone. And naturally, parents worry about drunk drivers. They worry about loud music being played, hazardous roads, or a litany of other things that could go wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
But today we're here to talk about the talk. What does it mean to enter the world of driving while Black? As parents, how have you prepared Marcus for that idea?
Well, we definitely have prepared him. I think in the world we live in right now, there's so much exposure to the realities of it. The music, what we see on TV, unfortunately, the news. So it's a bit scary. I think that through like natural conversation, we've, you know, tried to prepare Marcus. He now has his permit. So I think at this stage, it's more of just the, all right, let's see if we can make it to the corner store. Fine. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just more of the...
Just trying to be safe. Just trying to be as safe as possible and, you know, do all the right things. So,
And then through, I think, just conversation leading up to this, you know, raising a young black man in America, we've had discussions about how it's going to be more than just safety. That, you know, when he leaves and he gets his license and goes out for the first time, I'm not just going to be worried about him getting in an accident. I'm also going to be worried about the first time he gets pulled over and making sure he knows what that experience might be like for him. So, and it would be different. It's different than it has ever been for me and has ever been for Mike. You know, I'm mixed, very fair skin, and my husband Mike is white. Marcus is a black man in America. So it's different for him, and we're aware of that. And we try to have that conversation, not to make him scared, but just to be realistic.
Yeah, so that's one of the interesting things. You guys are a mixed race family. You bring the beauty of this country together, and you're raising a black son. So you're having a conversation that what I'm hearing is you weren't exposed to. And how do you educate yourself? How do you set the stage for that conversation?
I mean, you know, I think just living in society today, it's very, you know, it's very apparent, you know, what the relations are, you know, between, you know, different races and different cultures and police. So like Julie said, you know, I'm a white man in America, and, you know, I understand that I, you know, have a level of privilege, and I may never have had to have had that conversation with my parents when I was 16 years old, but being an adult now and, you know, just living in this society, seeing what happens across the country, you know, it's very important to both of us that, you know, we make Marcus aware of this and just try to prepare him as best as possible.
Thank you.
For sure.
I want to share some research with you guys, right? Here's a quote. It says, for young men of color in the United States, police use of force is among the leading causes of death. According to a study from the University of Michigan, Rutgers University, and Washington University. What are your initial reactions when you hear this quote? I mean, how does it make you feel to hear this?
For me as a mom, I mean, that's scary. That's very scary, and it's sad. And it lets me know that we can prepare Marcus as best as possible. We can do everything we think possible to make him prepared for an encounter with the police, whether when he's driving or out with friends or what have you. But the reality is there is clearly a subconscious bias. And until there's more education and time put in, you know, not just for parents teaching their sons, but for the other spectrum of the police force, making sure they're doing proper training, because this is stuff that's ingrained and embedded. Like, they see, you know, just like we watch TV and movies and shows and have these experiences, so do these cops, police and you know, and enforcement. So I think it's one of those things where you could prepare yourself, but you don't know who you're going to get on the other side, you know, when you get pulled over. And it could be a good experience, and that's the hope. But it's definitely scary.
Marcus, Mike, what are you guys' thoughts when you hear the six leading causes of death for young black men?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this the other day, right, on the phone, and you kind of threw that stat out there, and that's wild. I mean, I was never able to put a number to that. I mean, you did, and that's just, it's crazy to think that is reality. It's scary for sure. You know, I like to think that, you know, Marcus was raised the right way for sure and knows how to kind of navigate authority just in general. You know, so the thought and the hope is that, you know, should he be put in a situation like this where he has to interact with a police officer or multiple police officers, that, you know, he would handle himself, you know, like he would in any other situation, and that, you know, that respect would be reciprocated.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That's the hope.
Anything you want to add to that, Marcus?
As being the person that fits the profile of the statistic, I feel that going through life, it's kind of important for me that I just do everything I can right, so that if it ever were to happen, there's nothing I really can do. And I'm just making sure I stay calm or in a situation and make sure I am respectful so I can make it easier for them, as easy as possible, to make them feel comfortable around me. Because I feel like with police, they lack comfortability with people of my skin color. So the best thing to do is to make them feel as comfortable as possible, so they can easily do what they need to do and do the procedure and get it done with as fast as possible, making me feel safer.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mom, you had some facial reactions to that.
Yeah, it makes me emotional, because he's 16. And I know he's, you know, growing up to be such a mature young man, but, like, isn't it a little bit of a shame that he feels like he needs to be the one to make the police feel comfortable.
That's what I heard.
Like, that's just, it literally makes me tear up because that, I mean, that's where we are and that's the reality and it's sad, but maybe this is what's going to bring about change. It's sad that it has to go this way, but I mean, I've never heard him say that before. So that's pretty powerful for me to think that he even thinks like that. And it brings a level of comfort for me too. It's definitely sad and I feel like it's a shame, but it's the reality. So it makes me proud to know that he's willing to say, you know what, I can be the bigger person here. I can do what it takes to make sure I get home safely to my family.
Yeah, Marcus, your mom has tears in her eyes and I have goosebumps, right? Like, that was a powerful statement, but it's wrong. It shouldn't have to be your responsibility, but we all want you to make it home at night. And I can see Mike's head nodding, like, that's what's important. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Julie said it perfectly. It's sad that, Marcus or anybody in general of color would have to feel that way, that, they have to project comfort to an authoritarian figure like that. That's tough. That's tough to hear for sure. It's a good mindset to have. I mean, he's a smart kid. Marcus is a smart kid.
I can tell.
Yeah, he knows how to handle himself.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's tough to hear, but it's good to hear also.
Yeah.
For sure.
We're here to talk about the talk, right? We're here to talk about police brutality, impact on the black community, specifically young black men. And the case that keeps coming to my mind when I started to think about this that came to my mind was Trayvon Martin. And I had to pause and say, but he was not killed by a police officer, right? So that speaks to the fact that this is really about the perception of black males in America. And I wasn't going to talk about Trayvon Martin, but Marcus, you walked in here with a hoodie on, and you even favor him to me. You remind me of him. So let's. What do you think about that? Like, this is really about this country in general to a certain degree.
I'm really not sure completely what I think about it. I think I'm trying to understand it because it's still not understood to most people at all, because it was unfortunate what happened to him, and it was obviously the person who did it was in the wrong. I feel that sometimes there's things that are uncontrolled, and even if you are doing everything you can right, sometimes it's wrong place, wrong time, and
wrong color, wrong place, wrong time,
and there's nothing you really can do. So you gotta try to do the best you can all the time and hope that that doesn't happen to you.
So you're doing the right thing. You're going to a basketball game. Can you dunk?
That's a great question. Personally, with confidence, I think I can.
Okay.
But it's a bit of a rim grazer. Okay. Some people say, "Oh, they don't count it." But that's right. I believe I can dunk.
So you love basketball. You're going to a basketball game late at night. You're driving. You dunk. You guys win. You're on your way home. You get pulled over on a dark road. Mom, what do you want that police officer to know? What do you want to say to that police officer?
Oh my goodness! You know, it's one of those things where you wish you could have a resume to present. And it's sad because it's like, what you think, it's not, this is not who I am, or whatever it may be, whatever biases, you may have or they may have. I just hope that it's a good person, beyond the uniform that you wear. I hope it's a good person, because that's where it's brought from. These police officers who put on this uniform every day go home, and they're around the people that have these views, whether they're, altered or good. And that's what's carried with them into work. That's how we all are. We have these jobs, we have these responsibilities, but at the end of the day, we are who we are from home, and that's where it all starts. So I can only hope that they, treat my son with grace and see him how I see him and how I've always seen him. He's grown, he's 6'1" now. I have to look up to him, but he's still my Marcus, and still the kid with the big smile and the good heart who literally everyone has nothing but good things to say about him. And maybe in that moment, who knows if that's going to be able to be shown. And it's sad that that's what, I would hope that they could see before they react and, treat him or respond or whatever it may be. But, he's this tall, young, beautiful black man, but he's still my baby boy.
That's right.
He's
blushing under that mask. He's blushing.
Yeah, and he's just such a good kid. So
Thank you. So police brutality has been in the spotlight, right, following some major murders like that have been highlighted: George Floyd, Tamir Rice, Sandra Blake, Mike Brown, Breonna Taylor, Dante Wright, just to name a few. I mean, we could have a whole show literally of just saying names.
Mm-hmm.
And several movies have been released over the last few years. Two of these movies make me think of your family: The Hate U Give and American Son.
I did not watch American Son. The Hate U Give, I know Marcus has seen, okay. And he has the book as well, if you want to speak about it, Marcus.
For our listeners, you want to describe the plot of the movie?
The Hate U Give, it's a movie about how they are raised in, I would say, the unfortunate situation, maybe the projects, and it's all good people. And some they had to get stuff done with what they had, and unfortunately, they weren't doing anything wrong at the moment, and cops were called, the people were pulled over, and it led to a trickle effect of bad things. I watched it when I think it came out 2000, a little bit ago, a couple of years ago. It's not really the most recent, and I watched it when I was a little bit younger, so it was more shock for me. It was more of an eye-opener that I actually enjoyed watching because it gave me an understanding of what it was when I was at a young point, and I really didn't understand it. I was just this confident kid who thought, oh, I'm never going to be touched, or everything's impossible for them to happen to me. When I saw in reality these people that aren't really doing that much wrong, getting mistreated, and unfortunately it just happens to everyday people. So now I'm realizing that I'm an everyday person. Yeah. And I watched that movie and I was like, wow, that it really opened my eyes, basically.
Okay, okay. So we have a local scholar. Her name is Dr. Siri Alang, right? And she's done some research around this issue. She's an associate professor of sociology and health medicine. She's the chair of the Health Justice Collaborative of Lehigh University. She reviewed research from 50 states across the country. And I have a quote from her I want to share with you guys. She said, "The anticipation or worry about police brutality, that you or someone you know will be followed, pulled over for no reason, threatened or intimidated, is associated with chronic depression and anxiety amongst Black people, especially Black men 15 to 40. Both of these mental health conditions can cause physical problems like cardiovascular disease. They also affect productivity, interfere with meaningful family time, and actually shorten life expectancy. But we mostly focus on the fatal interactions with police, right? That's what we're here to talk about today. But Siri goes on to say, the more common non-fatal interactions which Black people experience daily are bad too. So the impact of police brutality is actually underestimated." Marcus, how do you think realizing this reality, in fact, impacts your mental health and your friend's mental health? And is it something that you think about?
I think we all know what anxiety and stress is. And I feel like even if it might not happen to you, I feel like every time it happens, you have you get this form of stress and anxiety, which you shouldn't have to deal with. And it raises your blood pressure. You feel uncomfortable. And that happening to you or anybody on an everyday basis makes you get anxiety and stress, which can affect your body and how you are over time.
How old are you?
16.
This guy sounds like an epidemiologist.
16 going on 30.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What are you looking to major in? Where are you going? What do you want to do?
I obviously wanted to be an entrepreneur, but that's just kind of a side thing. I do want to be a lawyer if I have the chance. I like politics and I like talking about it in a calm way. And politics sometimes can go it's pretty scary sometimes. So law's a bit safer. And, you know, as a kid at my age, I make a lot of money. So
that's right. There you go. Nothing wrong with some money, man. All right. So the stark reality is that 1 in 3 Black men and 1 in 6 Hispanic men will be incarcerated in their lifetime in this country. Right. And I know this firsthand. The first time I was arrested, I was 11 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. So what does it mean to raise a Black man in America, and specifically in the Lehigh Valley? Let's bring this home, right? Mike?
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, you know, that's a wild stat. That's crazy to think about. I think as parents, you know, it's our job and it's our responsibility to just, you know, in our situation, just make sure that we raise Marcus the right way. And I think we've done that. You know, I mean, I think you could tell just by talking to him for 15 or 20 minutes that he's mature beyond his years. But you know, it's tough to hear numbers like that and then look at Marcus and say, you know, you just as a statistic have a 33% chance in going to prison one day.
And I think to piggyback off what he's saying is we're doing all we can. He's doing all he can. But the reality is he could find himself in a situation that goes wrong and end up behind bars. And the likelihood is just that much higher. And
that's
it could
right.
be very well because the interaction goes wrong when he's pulled over or at a party. And I think it's good to have these conversations to prepare him. And he's aside from what may be inevitable, he's doing everything he can to be a good, productive young man in society. So if we were to ever get in that situation, hopefully it wouldn't be a situation where it's cyclical or you know, there's no options afterwards. That's you know, right. Like, you know, are we financially in a position where if something like that would happen? Go ahead, Marcus.
So in Easton or Lehigh Valley, the one good thing about this city is that it's very diverse.
That's right.
So in some cities and other parts of the country, you can predict what you may come up with when there's a police officer. Mm-hmm. But you have everything from the farthest right to the farthest left person in our city believing in whatever they want and anything they want, because we're in a city where it's all about diversity. Mm-hmm. And so when I get pulled over, it might be the nicest guy or it could be the meanest guy. So you really never know. It could be anybody with any skin color. So I feel like one thing about this city is that there's a lot, you grow up being in a diverse situation that I grew up in, mm-hmm. with kids of all different skin colors and all different religions and all different whatever you believe in, and even now all different types of genders, that I now am so comfortable around anybody, mm-hmm. that I feel like I could have a conversation with anybody, which I feel like is important, because some people don't grow up with that, the chance to be able to talk to everybody. They're so used to this type of these different people, mm-hmm. experiencing the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So this is not an anti-police conversation, right? And we want to be clear about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you say to the good cop, Marcus? What do you say to the good cop that sees a bad apple, even if it's not a major incident? What message do you want to get off to them?
I think that the good people with good hearts and the good cops, I feel like that's important for them to be very good communicators and wherever they go back to with all their friends that are also police officers, mm-hmm. to show them how they are.
Mm-hmm.
And over time and time and time, make it easier for everyone to understand their point of view, to make it seem that everyone, you can be comfortable around anyone. You're the person of authority and you're comfortable around people. You should be able to do the same to the other police officers should be able to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Basically.
So basically advocate, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Julie, you're a registered nurse.
Yes.
You're a veteran. Mm-hmm. You've served your country. You serve folks every day. You are a healer and a caregiver. How does all of that play into this conversation?
I think it, if anything, it's a reminder, a daily reminder that we are more alike than we are different. You know, our views obviously vary based on how, you know, we were raised and what we believe. But at the end of the day, you know, being a veteran and especially being a registered nurse, you know, I talk with patients with all different views and backgrounds. But at uh-huh. the end of the day, they have a heart like I have. They have, you know, feelings when it comes to mental health like I have. So as Marcus was saying, you know, trying to get to a level of understanding, you know, person to person, we're people aside from the uniform, you know, whether it be a military uniform or a police uniform, aside from the hoodie that Marcus chooses to wear or the button up that this man may want to wear, we're people. And I think if we can get on that level of common ground, I think there's room for growth and understanding on, and I hate to say both sides because I don't want it to make it a side thing, but both perspectives, I guess.
Mike, anything you want to add?
Yeah, and I think that the same goes for just across, you know, society in general. Mm-hmm. It's not just a police thing. It's a society thing. It's a human thing, right? I mean, there are natural biases, you know, everybody has natural biases. So I think just, you know, continuing, you know, you're fighting the fight, Hassan, right? You know, continuing to have these conversations with people and just, you know, making people aware is important. Because, you know, the goal, I believe, is to one day, you know, get society to a place where there are no biases, you know, based on your religion or your skin color or, you know, whatever it is that you may have a bias against or for, right?
So the call to action we always talk about is, right, to build bridges across difference, to mm-hmm. come to know the one another. And you guys are talking about something really critical, is this idea of recognizing the biases that you have. And there's something you have to do, right? There's a call to action with that. You have to work through them. You have to challenge yourself. Marcus, I imagine there are lots of talks that you have to have with your parents, right?
Yeah.
The sex talk, the drug talk, the alcohol talk, the friend talk, the study talk, the police talk. This talk in particular, what do you believe it would take to create a world where we no longer have to have this conversation?
I think that in this world, we will always have to kind of have that conversation for like a long, long period of time. Because even if it is perfect, it's always good to make sure you remember, because it's a good way to show an example and make sure you're doing the right things, being respectful. It's like having manners.
Mm.
So kind of like when you go to the table, you say thank you, you say you're welcome. You kind of nowadays you have to teach kids thank you and you're welcome in a form of conversation to people that they may be worried about. So I feel like over time, I feel like it would lessen the amount that we have to talk about, hopefully, it's the plan to lessen the amount that you have to talk about and make it more easier and comfortable. So I think that it might always have to happen, but it will obviously, hopefully, get less and less and less as much of a problem.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant, man. Very profound, bro. So you, we know that you're a 6'1". We know that you are a 16-year-old black male. We know that you love basketball. Tell the world a little bit about yourself, Marcus.
I'm very good. I like to talk. That's one thing, which you obviously can tell. I like to talk, and I like to do different things, do new things. I'm very big on morals and ethics of like being doing the right thing possible at every time. I'm not. I will be honest. I don't smoke or drink at all. I'm very like clean. I like to be okay. I like to feel like I'm doing the right thing all the time, which is kind of my personality. And then I like to communicate with people. Like I said, I like to enjoy times with people, and I like to have fun with life while it lasts. So I like to enjoy the time that we do have, because we only know if we live one life.
Wow, mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. You guys have done a beautiful job and raised a phenomenal young man. So when he's pulled over, what specifically do you tell him you want him to do?
Honestly, and it may sound cliche, but be yourself. Don't try to do too much. Be yourself, because you're a good kid. And I know Julie touched on it. Mm-hmm. It kind of depends on maybe the individual that is pulling him over. I mean, I think that plays a factor in it for sure. But if you're just, you know, if you're yourself, you know, I think you kind of shine through any perception that, you know, somebody may have about, you know, a young black man. Right?
So from the time he sees the lights, is there anything you guys want him to do?
I mean,
because right now, like I said, we're worrying about like the safety, getting into the corner store and stuff. We haven't really talked about, okay, now you're about to go off.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, and we haven't driven too far. So we haven't been really in that many. Haven't had an opportunity for him to potentially get pulled over.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have a license yet.
No, he has a permit. He gets his license in May.
Okay.
So right now he's with me or Mike, you know, when he goes to drive. And we haven't ventured onto the highway. We haven't done any of that because this is very, very new. And
so we're actually having the talk now, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. So I think,
so let's,
you know,
have it. Let's, yeah. What do you do when you get pulled over?
Exactly. Talk to me. For you, Marcus, I think we'll definitely, because he's never, I've never been, actually, you know what? I have been pulled over once with him. We were going to a basketball tournament. And I think my registration was expired, and like things like that, you know, we're going to make sure that he's aware of the things that need to be kept up with the car to decrease the likelihood of you getting pulled over. And if you do, let's make sure your license and registration are somewhere that is easy for you to grab. So by the time the officer comes to the window, you're not fiddling and fumbling with stuff. You're ready for him. You know, the idea of keeping your hands on the wheel, I hate that he would have to do that, but I would encourage him to do that until there's a level of comfort with the officer. There are certain things that we don't even need to teach him. You know, the eye contact, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, that's natural for him.
Yeah,
he does that.
But you don't want him moving his hands around. Exactly. Feeling like you just demonstrated on the radio so folks didn't see where you had your hands on the steering wheel.
Yeah, at 10 and 2. You know, like I feel like making sure that they're visible is important. I think he's seen that through shows and movies and music videos. I think a lot of that is already, I think, an understanding for him. But we would definitely continue to have the conversation as I think he gets closer and closer to driving. When we're on the road now, when we're practicing and he's, you know, doing different things, I'm actively speaking with him. Okay, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Like that stop you just did, make sure you come and do a full rock back, you know, because I've known people that just for tapping at a stop sign, they get pulled over, you know, just kind of coming up with different things to decrease the likelihood.
So you're
of getting
always
pulled over.
Thinking of the likelihood of him getting pulled
over. Yeah, unfortunately, I am. And I don't think he is, because he shouldn't have to, but that's just the reality. I'm always, always, it's more than just safety. I am looking for things that he could do to make sure he continues to do the right thing on the road.
So when he goes out and he's driving on his own,
oh gosh,
what are some of the things you're worried about to make sure that your son makes it home to you?
I mean, the obvious is, you know, an accident, like the defensive driving. I try to tell him all the time, you never know what other cars are going to do. You can do the best thing and you could still put yourself in a situation where something goes wrong. But my biggest worry and fear, and it's not even getting in an accident, my worry is him getting pulled over and how that's going to go and how that's going to be handled.
Wow.
So it's definitely something I think about. I don't keep myself up at night I have until about May.
So, oh, is that when it starts?
I think May is when he goes for his license, and it's going to be nerve-wracking for a while. I already know that because I'm going to worry.
It's going to be a lot of text when you get there.
Yeah.
Call when you get there. Text before you leave.
I have his location. So, yeah. But I think we're doing everything we can to kind of prepare ourselves for it so it's not like a shock. You know, we want to be prepared. When he goes out for his license, it's not going to be like, all right, these are all the things you need to know. These are things we've been talking about.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So what else do you guys want to share with other Lehigh Valley parents that may not have the words, may not know, may not even be aware that they need to be having this talk?
Just to communicate. Communicate with your child, right? I mean, you can't watch the news without seeing something, you know, pop up, you know, seemingly, you know, every couple of weeks or months, you know, there's a situation. And, yeah, I think to just, you know, communicate with your child and have the difficult conversations because not even just about this topic, just in general, there are a lot of difficult conversations that need to be had with young men and young women that are, you know, the age that Marcus is right now. So just to, you know, continue to have the uncomfortable conversation is important.
Definitely.
Julie, close us out. What do you want? What do you want to say to the mom that's sitting there talking to her 16-year-old black son? He's getting his driver's license.
I think.
Or just in general.
Right? Yeah, I think it's just important to know that we're in this together and that communication, like Mike said, is just so important. And Marcus is clearly a communicator. We have the not really privilege, but we're fortunate enough that we are a family that talks about everything. So for this isn't something that's super awkward for us because we are always talking, whether it's at the dinner table, you know, or what have you. So definitely just encourage conversation. And I know Marcus with his friends, it's the same. He has friends of all races and all backgrounds. So, you know, to make sure his friends know that he's going out driving with, you know, his white friend who may be behind the wheel and he's in the passenger, that it's a different experience for him. Mm. I think once we can kind of accept that as a reality, that it's a different experience for everyone, then maybe we can have more of the uncomfortable conversations about it. And again, you know, mom is a mom. I'm always going to be worried and fearful, but I know that I think preparing and talking about it will make the transition a little smoother.
Thank you. Marcus, bring us home. Just in closing, what do you want to add? What do you want the world to know?
So I think one thing that I think I'm gonna give a tip. I think that's
there you really, go. That's my dude, man. I'm loving this guy, man.
a tip that's really important is that if you ever, because what happens is when you get, like, let's just say for instance, if you get pulled over and you're not of the same color as the police officer, most of the time they have like a reason or to believe that you're not normal. That's why they come in. They feel unfortunate or they feel scared or they feel nervous, and which makes them unsettled. So I think that one tip is to always, whenever you have a chance to have conversation with them while you're pulled over, or in a situation, pulled over, in a car accident, being talked to, always try to make them feel to earth with you. Make them to feel like you're just somebody else, just a person like they are. Somebody you're sitting down at the bar with them. So, like, basically make them feel like a brother to you, even if they're not. And that makes them feel more comfortable around you.
Thank you, man. You are brilliant, wonderful young man, beautiful family. You're taking on a lot of responsibility there, and I'm hoping that the adults and the professionals that are paid to do this work take on that responsibility for you so you can focus on calculus and basketball. This has been a phenomenal conversation, man. Very powerful. I want to thank our guest, Mike.
Thank you. Appreciate you having us.
I want to thank Julie.
Thank you so much.
Marcus, I want to thank you, man.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure having you guys. Thank you for coming to the show. This is what it's about. Let's talk. Let's come to know one another. Let's build difference across our community. Let's build bridges across difference, man. Thank you. This is
Thank
Dr.
You.
Batts
Appreciate
closing
it.
Thank
out.
You.
Thank you, listeners, for making the time for this conversation. You can also find past episodes and other public affairs programming on WDIY.org and on all the major podcast platforms. I am Dr. Hassan Batts, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. Tune in next Thursday for more Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we'll see you next time on Let's Talk.
WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio, your trusted local NPR member station for over 25 years. Many choices, real voices.